God's word for our consideration this morning. God's word to feed us. God's word to nourish us. God's word to strengthen our path of life and his care and keeping is from the Psalms, Psalm 19. And I'm going to read the entire Psalm. It's only 14 verses. And I'm going to concentrate on a few of the verses in the beginning. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above them proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has sent a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom, leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the word is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, more to be desired than they are of gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is a great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So far, God's word. The last verse I use in my prayer before opening up the message. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. However, I want you to think about the first four verses. First four verses contain the word voice. I want you to think about that. And I want you to think about the voices. The voices in the earth and the world. Voices, voices, voices. The teacher stands in front of his or her students, and they are not behaving. So they bring a little voice. Maybe not so powerful or not so loud, but there's that voice. Voices, voices, voices. We have a victory lap, a victory coming down the streets with all of the confetti thrown and the voices, and the voices, and the voices are there cheering. There was one thing though. In December of 1980, the NFL did have an experiment. I'm wondering if you can remember that experiment. The experiment that the NFL had on that day that was between the New York Jets and the Miami Dolphins was in silence. No broadcaster's voice came over to tell you what was going on. The NFL wanted to see how many fans would enjoy a silent game. It seems like that experiment didn't go very well because now you hear the commentators. And maybe you heard the commentator that, I'm not going to say fateful night, because I'll get real trouble. But it was a night in 1980 when the United States did the unthinkable. And voices were heard as the commentator screamed over the airways, "Do you believe in miracles?" Yes. Voices, voices, voices. Voices were heard when Kirby Puckett hit a home run. I can't remember if it was the 87 series or the 91, but the commentator says, "See you tomorrow night." Voices. We can't get away from them, can we? There's one voice that the Lord wants you to hear and to put in the back of your head, the forward part of your head, in your life as His word. Voices, voices, voices. "Let there be light," the Lord said in Genesis, and there was light. He created the entire earth and world, and He created us as well. Voices, voices, voices. God has voice for us. God Himself tells us about Jesus. He wants us to know about Jesus. He wants us to know about His glory. He wants us to know about His wonderful creation. That is why the psalmist, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the sky above proclaims His handiwork." Have you ever gone out on a nice, clear night and away from the streets of the street lights, town that you live, but you go out in the country and you look up, and what do you see? You see all the handiwork of God, the millions and billions of stars that God created. And then you look at yourselves, and you see what God has created. We're all different. We all have different opinions and different viewpoints. We all have different ways of living. And yet we are the handiwork of God. The beautiful creation that God made. Oh yes, we know about the sperm and the egg and how they are united. But God created it. God created everything through His voice. And now He comes to you, children of God, who are stressed, who are living under pressures, and living this world that hears not so many good voices, but so many bad voices. We hear the voices of tension. We hear the voices of anger. We hear the voices of not so kind people. And God yet wants us to hear of His great and glorious, gracious word, His voice there that goes throughout all the earth. The voice of creation, the voice of salvation, the voice of redemption. The voice that God has for you as He encourages you. God knows how tough this world is. God knows what tough this world is to live in. This morning I got an email from a great buddy of mine whose ministry was all in Canada. And He was telling me about the death of a classmate. And then he said, he ended up and he said, "I hope you and Karen are enjoying your most blessed retirement." And I had one little moment there that I was going to say, you know, it's not, life is not all cracked up to me. You have all these little fractures. There's all these little things that happen. And yet, God has created us. He has given us life. He has given us salvation, not in ourselves, but in Christ Jesus. In the book of Acts, at the 4th chapter, is that Peter is saying to the Sanhedrin, and those who have arrested him. And he says, there's only one name under heaven that is given by which men may be saved. Jesus Christ. voices, voices, voices. God has these voices for us to hear. The voices of creation, the voices of rebellion, the voices of redemption, the voices of forgiveness. The psalmist writes, "As far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your sins from me." And the prophet Jeremiah wrote God's words, "I will remember their sins no more." Do we remember those voices? Because as soon as we leave church this morning, we're going to go right back and do what we've always done. Sin. Because we have sinned. We have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have sinned against God. We have sinned against our spouse. We have sinned against our children. Our children have sinned against us. It's amazing what kind of sin we can get into. And how we can be exposed as the people that are stopping out voices of sin, voices of rejection, voices of pain and hurt. And yet God gives us voices to use in comforting people. I can remember that one of my previous calls, I got a call at 3 o'clock in the morning, "Pastor, so-and-so died. We want you to bring the news to her father." So I had to go out to this individual's house, and I had a policeman with me. And I had to knock on the door. And of course, when he opened up the door, he knew exactly what I was going to say. That his daughter had died. And for a little while, we had some voices of comfort and strength. I remember my first parish, an individual, she called me and said, "Pastor, my dad died. Would you come?" I went and I visited with her. I had a devotion with her, with God's word. And she looked at me and she says, "You know, Pastor, I wish I knew my Bible better so I could understand what he wants, what he desires, and how he leads." Voices, voices, voices. We have those voices we speak. We have those voices that God gives to us as living testimonies. And how God works in our life so that we can speak to someone who is hurting, someone who needs comfort, someone who needs God's word. And you know, I told you about this, that if I could change one thing in your life, and one thing of people that I talk to, that when somebody dies that you know and you're going to bring them over food, bring it on a plate that needs to be returned. Because the voice of comfort not only happens at that time, but when they return the plate, it happens all over again. God uses you. God uses you to share his word. It's always surprising to me that when we gather as family, or we gathered at celebrations, and they would look to me and say, "Hey, Scott, why don't you say grace for us? Hey, Scott," Karen's cousin would say, "why don't you have a prayer? Why can't you have a prayer?" Because God gives us those voices to share. So when you see God's creation, when you behold his creation in the birth of a grandson, granddaughter, whoever, I want you to think about the heavens declare the glory of God, the sky above proclaims his handiwork, Day to day pours out speech, and the night to night reveals knowledge. There's no speech. There are no words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the earth. In them he has sent a tip for the sun. Remember the angels singing glory to God and telling the shepherds of the birth of Jesus Christ. Remember the voices that stood at the cross of Jesus, condemning Jesus, saying he can save Elijah. Maybe Elijah can come and save him. Remember those words. Voices, voices, voices. God uses you and those voices to share his love, to share what he has done in you and continues to do. Voices, voices, voices. In Christ's holy name.